every Muslim, every believer knows about his destination, and most definitely we all know our destination, where we are going. Every Muslim knows about Allah Ta'ala's qurb, Allah's nearness, Allah's love, and to attain freedom from hell is the objective, and to enter into the paradise is our objective, to save ourselves from wrong actions. Every Muslim is aware of these facts. So what is it that is a restriction for us? What are the obstacles that do not allow us to reach to this destination, to achieve our objectives? We do wrong actions, we don't attain Allah Ta'ala's qurb, Allah Ta'ala's love is not attained, muhabbat. There must be a restriction. There must be some restrictions. And there's such a restriction that does not allow us to attain our objective, to fulfill our objectives, to reach to our destination. Most definitely, if we are to realize what is the restriction to achieve our objectives, then we would get to where we want to. And obviously, if we remove the restriction, because it hasn't been removed at the moment, and as soon as we remove the restriction, we will attain Allah's love, Allah Ta'ala's qurb, and we'll attain Jannah, and we'll be free from Jahannam, and we'll be free from wrong actions. So there must be an obstacle, a barrier between us and fulfilling our objectives. So we need to learn what is that barrier, what is that restriction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned with regards to this obstruction in the Quran. Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَن زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَن دَسَّاهَا. Allah ta'ala says that the biggest restriction for all of us is our nafs. And we will have to believe this, the base desires. There's nothing else. The thing that doesn't allow us to get close to Allah is nafs. What stops us attaining Allah's love? Nafs. And what takes us towards Jahannam? Nafs. The desires. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran with regards to the nafs, nafsi al-mara bisu, that every piece of advice that is given to do bad and to take us towards a negative consequence is emanating from the nafs. Nafs advises us to go towards the wrong actions. If we remove the instruction of the nafs or following the nafs, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, remove this. The words that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned is tazkiyah, the action. The method, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah says that we need to purify ourselves. If we remove the nafs, the base desire, the lower desires, we overcome them, purify our inner soul, then we will reach to our objective. Do you understand, brothers? The Quran has given us a simple solution. So that's all we have to do. One thing, one action, end of story. That to attain all of the successes, we've now realized what is the obstruction, the barrier. And when a person realizes what are his barriers, what are the things that prevent him to attain success, then he will get to that point. If we don't remove the nafs and we keep on committing sins and we keep on going towards evil actions and stay away from Allah, far from Allah, we don't attain Allah's love, and we carry on living this journey of life, then a day will come that we will depart from this world without fulfilling our objective. If we want to attain success here and in the hereafter, Allah says, then you'll have to carry out this action. You will have to remove the base desires from in front of you. Otherwise, everything is a waste. Everything is a waste. So there are two things, two conditions, two scenarios. Either, for example, as I said, the nafs is our enemy. Rather, the nafs, our desires, are the biggest enemy of man. Because we see sometimes we have enmity maybe with people around us in the world due to small minor matters. And these stay within the world until the time we die. But the nafs is looking ahead far. Nafs doesn't have the objective of being our enemy in this world. It says, no, where this man will go after death to the hereafter, I want to make him dhalil there. I want to make him wretched there. So can there be anyone more opposed to us than our nafs, our own inner base desires? The nafs, the desires, are the biggest enemy of man. Biggest enemy. So there are two conditions, two scenarios. Scenario one, the person who thinks he's clever, he says, oh, this is my enemy. So he says, oh, why fight with the enemy? Might as well make up with the enemy. Let's embrace, shake hands. This is one tariqah in the world, isn't it? Oh, this enemy, this person who's opposing me is too strong. Okay, let's forget the opposition. Let's make friends and let's agree to disagree, and I'll just, listen to what he says, and dunya will continue and I'll benefit in the way I want to. Or the person, so first scenario A, you can make friendship with your nafs. like people have done. Oh, whatever you say, nafs, it's fine. Whatever bad you say is fine. I will listen to you and I'll follow in your footsteps and your tracks. And mustaqil, continuously, they've made a strong friendship with their nafs. They've shook hands with the nafs. But this is one position, position A. And this scenario is dangerous. Scenario A is very dangerous. And dangerous is this, that those people have made friendship with their nafs. We're close to this nafs, to their nafs, and say, it doesn't matter, nafs. You give me your instruction, I will accept everything you say. I'm never going to consider anything you say as bad. If you tell me to leave salah, I'll leave salah, I'll sleep, it's okay, I'll rest. If nafs says to me, do this and do this sin, I'll follow you, nafs. At least I'm free from having any restrictions. I can follow my life the way I want in the world, first class. So when a person falls into this trap, whose ghulam does he become? Who is his master? Rather, in other words, who is the lord of that person? His nafs is his lord. So my brothers, my friends, the person who makes friendship with his nafs-based desires and lives his life obeying the nafs, obeying his desires, then in the akhirah they will wake as mushriks. The kalima they recite in the world will not benefit them. They don't have la ilaha illallah. They will not have Muhammad Rasulullah because they didn't listen to Allah. They didn't listen to Muhammad Rasulullah. When did that person say la ilaha illallah? When did he say la ilaha illallah? He was listening to his nafs, obeying his soul. Based desires, his nafs, whatever came from the deen, he went against it. Oh, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to keep the beard? Why do I have to wear the hijab? Why do I have to observe parda? Why I don't have to follow this advice of the deen? My salah is fine, and the nafs is making us pray. We are discarding Allah Ta'ala's principles, laws, and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're praying salah, then we're not praying to Allah. We're not fasting for Allah. We're not doing hajj to Allah. Who are we doing this for? We're doing this for ourselves, to please ourselves. We are worshipping our nafs. We are worshipping our nafs, our desires, our inner self. So such a person who his whole life has broke Allah Ta'ala's principles and rules, laws, who has discarded and rejected and shunned the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and is following his own ibadah and his own instructions, which is not in accordance with Allah Ta'ala's laws and Allah Ta'ala's rules, and that person is following his nafs. He is the worshipper of his nafs. He's a nafs worshipper. He's a nafs worshipper. He's not worshipping Allah. He's not obeying Allah. Nor is his salah for Allah. If his salah was for Allah, then he would do as Allah Ta'ala is saying, isn't it? He would do as Allah Ta'ala is saying. But no, we don't do this. We eat according to our nafs. We drink according to our nafs desires. We earn according to our nafs. Our business is according to our nafs. Everything is according to our nafs. So our salah will also be the same. And the Quran is telling us this. It is explaining to us, advising us. So this is one scenario. Scenario A, that a person in the akhirah with this kalima, he will stand and be included in the group of the mushrikeen who didn't implement this kalima. And scenario B is what? When you have an enemy, you say, okay, if confront me, come, let's have the challenge. Stop me if you can. This is scenario B. This is challenging the enemy. Say, subhanallah, subhanallah. And this is the work of the people who are true males, true servants. And he will say to his nafs, try and stop me if you can. Try and make me commit an evil or a sin. Oh, okay, nafs, you're trying to take me far from Allah. You are ordering me, instructing me not to listen to Allah. And you're saying that you don't like me following Allah. And you like it when I commit sins. You like this libas and you like this appearance. And you want me to look like this. Acha, is this what you want me to do? Then you stand firm. You say, you are opposing me and my Lord. I say, la ilaha illallah. And I say, la ilaha illallah. I don't follow anyone's instructions except for Allah, and you are giving me mashwara, advice to follow something else. So where does the advice come from? The nafs is hidden within the depths within us. It won't come from outside. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, he is your worst enemy, your avowed enemy. Nafs is within you, every one of us, and to fight the nafs is the akbar clash, the akbar, the greater clash. Everything we see around us in the dunya, this is a minor. Allah Ta'ala says, your nafs which is within you, and to oppose the nafs, to fight the nafs, is the greater clash, is the greater struggle. And the person who beats the nafs has conquered the biggest enemy, and he can stand with the standard and the flag and say, ah, I have won today. They're around us when we have enmity for worldly reasons and spite or malice or hatred. After a few days, people make up, embrace, and they carry on. But the nafs, to fight the nafs, is the biggest clash, the biggest struggle. Don't think, for example, in the world you have a 4-year tussle or a 5-year tussle or a 6-year clash and then the enemy disappears. Maybe 10 years, you know, the worst, for example, if you look in history, the worst clash or struggle is maybe 5 years or 10 years, but the nafs that since a person becomes a baligh, mature, the fight with the nafs starts and it continues until death. Whether if we want to fight. If you make friendship, then you're friend with the nafs till death. And if you fight, this till death. Otherwise, may Allah Ta'ala not allow us to become friends with the nafs-e ameen. Ameen. We want to be friends with an enemy that is taking us away from Allah, that's destroying our world and our hereafter. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No, we should stand firm, solid, in front of our nafs. So when does the clash with our nafs start? From balagh, from maturity, from the age of maturity, 12, 13, 14, 15, etc. Until a person's last breath leaves him or her. The fight with the nafs continues. So when does our fight with our nafs start? From the time we are baligh, from the time we are mature until maut, until death. If there is a man today, young, youthful, and he wants to oppose his nafs and attain the success in akhirah, like Allah Ta'ala warns, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَا زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَا دَسَّاهَا, that if we do not crush our nafs, destroy it, and wring it, and twist it, just like a person when he is an enemy, and the person's trying to spoil his affairs, and he confronts the enemy, then if we don't confront the nafs, we will not be able to oppose it. All of the destruction in the life of a Muslim, in the life of a person, spiritually, physically, all of the loss that is in our life, anything, nobody tells us to do this except one, the worst avowed enemy, the nafs. And nafs, it creates thoughts in the person's mind, in his heart, then he implements those thoughts. So when you feel a thought is coming, before you implement it, stop. That is this in accordance with Sharia or against? If it's against, then this is nafs, then crush the desire straight to him. And if we see and feel that this thought is coming from within, that it is in accordance, in line with the Sharia and the Sunnah, then embrace that instruction, embrace that feeling. Subhanallah, this is not nafs, this is Allah who's given me advice, Allah's karam, His mercy, that He's allowing me to do good. For example, I'll give you a small example. You are preparing to do dhikr, to come to the majlis of dhikr. Inside, the nafs says, it's alright, leave it today. Oh, I'll go with my wife home and drink some tea, or we'll go out somewhere. Nafs says, oh, you know your wife's got rights. You don't have to go to all the majlis. Why do you have to keep on going to dhikr? You have rights that are due, your wife and children. What difference does it make? You do dhikr every day, every evening. And maybe it was that the dhikr majlis that night that he was going to, and that Allah Ta'ala was inviting him to, maybe that was his source of forgiveness. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. What do we know about Allah Ta'ala? His mercy, the time that Allah Ta'ala has chosen to forgive us. And Allah Ta'ala knew that this is His final dhikr. After this, He will not get the tawfiq to do dhikr. And today I'm going to forgive him. And nafs on the other side of the net is saying, no, you don't need to go to dhikr. You've been many times before. And he says, you'll be forgiven. Does he have ilmul ghaib? Does he know? I'll give you a small example of how nafs opposes us, is our enemy. So the wife, she's prepared. She's speaking with love to the husband. He says, okay, I'll stay home 5 minutes. And he lies down, and then he's wasted that golden opportunity of his life, that night when he was to be forgiven, those moments, his wife's taken it from him, and this was nafs and nafs advice. But the other side, we say, oh, why shall I go today? No, let me get up. Dhikr of Allah is happening, madman. If you go to dhikr, then your life will be made. There will be barakah in your life, blessings and mercies. Allah will open the doors for mercy, the path to mercy. Maybe you'll get another reward. So where's this all coming from? Ar-Rahman, Allah, He is sending the thought inspiration into our hearts. So if we feel, if we want to make friendship with nafs, then shake his hands and follow his advice and desires. But if we want to oppose nafs and desires and crush our desires, we want to kick it into touch, then alhamdulillah, due to Allah Ta'ala's inspiration, Allah's advice, we should live our lives. And this is how to oppose the nafs continually. So brothers, this is not a small time enemy, the nafs. Today, if you have someone who's against you, doesn't like you, you have to make tactics and plans. And you see in the world today around us, individually, as a family, or people generally speaking, when there's a clash, people make plans, any tactics. So today we have to think that nafs is the biggest enemy. I can't fight nafs, I'm weak. Let's be honest, that the enemy is strong, the strongest enemy. No Maulana can fight, no Alim, no Sufi, no pious elder, no Wali. So who can fight the nafs? Who will explain to us to fight nafs? Only if Allah Ta'ala's fadl comes, then we will succeed. Our Mawla, He has given us His mercy in the Quran. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah has given us the solution of how to fight our desires. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who believe, O you who attain faith, O who love me. Idha laqitum fi'atan. Allah Ta'ala gives the advice now, that whenever you confront a situation, or situation confronts you, where your enemy, the nafs, is in front of you, I'm telling you the meaning of the Quran that our pious predecessors have done tafsir. There's the physical vahir and there's the spiritual. So in reality, nafs is nothing. Okay, for example, he tried to spoil our affairs in the world. But Allah says the enemy in the world, we see physically men, women, they are not our enemy. Allah says this is your enemy, the nafs. Your desires. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, you believe, idha laqitum fi'atan, that when you meet a host who is ready to be against you and go against you and fight you, Allah says, I'll give you such a solution that you'll destroy this nafs of yours. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala's tactics, Allah Ta'ala's plan and methodology, then how can our nafs dare to oppose us? How can our nafs dare to continue to take us off track? But it's sad, we read the Quran, we recite it, we memorize it, we look at it with the fadl of Allah, we pray Taraweeh, but we don't understand it. We don't understand the verses. Did we not ever read this verse in the Quran and understand what Allah Ta'ala is saying to us? So Allah Ta'ala is saying, now let me explain to you. Will you do amal on the meaning of the Quran? Yes, Allah, I will. Yes, Allah, I will. Because I want to oppose my nafs. I cannot fight my nafs on my own. Allah, I need your advice and help and assistance. Allah says, I will tell you now how to conquer your desires. How to overcome your desires. إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَثْبُتُوا. First thing, Allah Ta'ala says that if you want to oppose your host in the fight, in other words, your nafs, then Allah says, be firm. That's the first step. Don't shake, don't wither, don't dither. This is the first, say subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the biggest tactical, you can say, advice you'll get to fight your nafs. Always, the people who lose out against their desires are those people, those individuals, those women, those men, those sisters or brothers who don't have istiqamah, who are not regular, who are not steadfast, who don't have niyyah, who don't have a firm resolve, who are weak, they melt like butter, who follow their desires, their thoughts, their feelings, their emotions, their opinions, who on small little points they lose their iman, a small disaster comes, a problem, incident, a distress or a worry, they leave the deen. No, I can't practice Islam, it's too hard for me, I can't live in the world, I've got bad thoughts and feelings coming to my mind, my heart is too difficult. I says, no, this will not be your route to success. If you want to oppose your desires, doesn't matter what conditions come in front of you, what calamities before you, what comes around you, what thoughts come, what issues arise in your life, what shaitani thoughts come into your life, doesn't matter. Allah Ta'ala says, stand firm against your nafs. When you've made that decision already that I want to get close to Allah, I want to succeed on the day of judgment, do we want to do this? Say inshallah, inshallah. Then be firm, have resolve. Allah says that person who's not firm, who's not continuous and steadfast, will not succeed. So step number one, Allah Ta'ala says, فَثْبُتُوا. Then first step is be firm, and then I will allow you and assist you in fighting your nafs. Say, I'm not going to follow you. And the nafs say, no, do it. No, I'm not going to do it, but you'll die of poverty. Doesn't matter, I'll die of poverty. And that man is successful. Not that person on the small advices of shaitan, nafs. Oh, it's okay, nafs, I'll listen to you. No, that person's a drama. Allah Ta'ala says, that person is wasting his life. He can never win against nafs because he is accepting the advice of his nafs himself. For example, you've seen sometimes a dog. I'll give you the example of how to oppose the desires. Let's take the example of the dog. The pious predecessors have given this great example. It doesn't matter even if it's a big strong dog. I've got personal experience of this. Now, if you are scared of the dog and you run away, the dog will run after you. Even if it's a small poodle, a poodle dog, he'll run after you and say, oh, this man's a coward. He's scared of me and he's very cowardly. And the dog will run after you. The small barking, and it can't even do nothing to you. He's so short, cannot cut you or bite you. He'll say, oh, he's scared, he's a coward. But second point, even if he's a big, strong dog, if you don't run away and you stand firm and you're courageous, you are scared inside, but you stand there. And you oppose the dog, you challenge it, you won't move, the dog will stop. Suddenly, he will pant, his tongue will hang out, he'll try to scare you. And this is the nafs, the same ploy. It will make you scared, afraid. But when you run away, then the nafs will run after you, panting like a dog to bite you. If you stand firm, and you don't run and say, I'm not going to carry out this order of my nafs, I'm not going to break this rule of Allah's, doesn't matter what happens, he'll try to scare you. Whatever can say, no, but the nafs will not be able to do anything. It'll stop, it'll be confused, and it'll go backwards. So this is the first tactic for the successful people. Be firm. So Allah says, فَثْبُتُوا وَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is giving the solution. Not Mawlana Sahib, not scholar Sahib. And when some people say, oh, he keeps on talking about dhikr and nothing else, who is saying this? Allah Wahid. If you want to save yourself from your nafs, then these are the tactics. Step number one, be firm. Once you stand firm, remember, don't be confident on yourself totally. Subhanallah. Allah has given now the hint that yes, you stood
firm and you're opposing nafs, but don't think it's you who's doing this. Don't trust yourself that I'm now standing firm, I'm courageous, I'm brave. Allah says, no, no, totally not. Don't think, as soon as you have confidence in yourself, then you will lose the fight. Wadhkurullah, Allah says, call out to me, because it's me who will assist you fighting your desires. Definitely ask Allah's help. Allah says, remember this point. Don't forget Allah. Don't forget that. Don't let this occur that, oh, it's me. Just like Musa alayhi salam was sent. There were two prophets, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, Hazrat Harun alayhi salam. Both were sent. Allah Ta'ala said, when you go to him, your enemy, you're not going for some small time action, my brothers. Only the Nabi could carry out that action, alayhi salam. He was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there, he gave the instruction, and Fir'aun, he thought he was God, and he had ministers and people who followed him, and to go in front of him, 2 men to go and tell him, you are a liar, you should believe in our God. Is this some small action? Is this a small competition? Any man of the world, when, like for example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and he decided to give dawah, and there were idols in the Kaaba and there were mushrikeen, and when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood and said, these idols, don't worship these people, these idols. No normal man could do this action. Only the Nabi could do this. The Prophet of Allah, to stand firm in this ma'ashara society, to do tabliq and say openly, you are wrong. One man in front of the whole world. Hazrat Musa alaihi wasallam was one. He was one Nabi. The Prophet of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala said, Musa, you are going. Yes, I am sending you on this mission. And the quality of the Nabi of Allah is such that he has a great status, great rank. But Allah Ta'ala reminded him that you are my Nabi. Remember this. Don't forget this. When you go there and give tabliq to Fir'aun, remember one thing, that you are doing tabliq. Whilst you are doing tabliq, may not occur that you start to think that it's you doing this. And don't be ignorant of my dhikr for a second. Not for a second. Rather, we know that the Nabi of Allah, alayhi salam, there's no greater dhikr than the Nabi. He remembers Allah every second. The Nabi of Allah is such a dhakir, subhanAllah, that his clothes are doing dhikr. The Nabi, the Prophet's clothes, wherever his footsteps go and trod, where he trods, that dhikr, the piece of earth beneath his feet does dhikr, and the winds around him, they are doing dhikr of Allah. So it wasn't that he was going to forget to do dhikr, rather Allah was giving a reminder to mankind. Allah said, remember, my Nabi, I've given you mu'jizat and miracles, and you have confidence in me, and it's me who's sending you. I've given you such mu'jizat that they will be shocked, and the ministers and his magicians of Fir'aun will be shocked, and the jaws will drop. But don't rely on these things. Wadhkurullah, continue to remember your Lord. Continue to remember your Lord. So Allah Ta'ala said that fathbutu, when you stand firm and when you are and you say, totally, I'm not going to listen to you today, nafs, but don't be 100% self-confident. What should you do then? Wadhkurullah. Allah says, and remember Allah often. So first thing, be firm. Stand firm. Secondly, do the dhikr of Allah. Otherwise, we cannot succeed. Dhikr will, standing firm on its own will not allow us to succeed. So what benefit will dhikr give? Dhikr of Allah is such an action. Allah Ta'ala says, when you start thinking of being firm and having resolve, then, and when you do dhikr on top of that, dhikr will inject into you the strength and the power that your enemy, the nafs that's in front of you, will not be able to oppose you. Your desires will not be able to overcome you. You'll have so much strength that the nafs will not be able to even present a plan in front of you. When he will try to present a plan and you're doing dhikr, nafs will say, oh, it's too hard. How can I explain to this person? I cannot explain to this dhakir. He is wrapped up in the nur, the light of his dhikr. How can I give him da'wah to do bad? How can I stop him following Allah Ta'ala's orders? How can I prevent him from practicing sharia? Because he is immense. He's immersed in his dhikr. And due to the nur of his dhikr, the plan, the plot of nafs that wants to take us towards bad will never be successful. Do we understand what I'm saying, my friends? Is this coming and impacting on your heart? The words of the Quran. What paths the Quran explains to us? Only for those who want to be corrected, who desire that Allah, when we die, we want to go towards paradise. We don't want to go to hellfire. We want to be saved from the punishments of the grave. Not Allah save me, Allah save me, Allah save me, doing dua for hours. Oh, switch the lights off, put the lights on, these dramas. This is nonsense. This is nonsense, wasting time. Fine, we should do dua. 100%, Allah says, beg to me, cry, have remorse. But first do the precondition actions. Allah Ta'ala says, utilize the means, then do dua. Have you ever seen until today a person trying to achieve success in the world? He doesn't use the means. Allah, give me a business. I need this much, these many businesses. Allah, give me this much monthly turnover and profit. I want to be rich, wealthy. I want big cars on my driveway. I'm doing all these duas. Has anyone attained these things without moving? Yes, Allah can give overnight. Allah can place these things. Allah says, utilize the means, walk, go out in the world, buy a shop, buy a business, run a business, and have the daily effort, and then do dua, then you will see the result. But has it been, Allah, I want 3 children, one child I'll send to this school, and the other child will go to this college, and when he grows up, I'll make him hafid, I want him to be hafid. Allah, when my child comes home, he didn't pray salah, I will tell him, why didn't you pray salah? Oh, but have you got married? No, I haven't got married. So where are your children going to come from? You're doing dua, big duas. MashaAllah, have you got this many children? You tell me, no, I've just got these thoughts. I haven't even got married yet. So why are you doing dua about Allah do this to my children? The people in the world will be shocked that he's doing duas. They are foolish people who have these big dreams. Allah give me paradise, Allah give me this. And they don't want to oppose their nafs. They don't want to fight their desires. They don't do dhikr of Allah. They don't take the law of Allah, the path of Allah, the method that Allah has prescribed. Well, and just these 10, 15 people are sitting here to do dhikr. These are the people who recognize, appreciate. Maybe half the people, they're thinking, they might be thinking of points against me. Oh, this man is wasting our time. Why are we doing dhikr here? Why is he? There could be half the people here could be thinking against the host who's hosting the majlis of dhikr. Half the people could be against him with their nafs and their desires and their waswas shaitan. Wada sahaba kram like this, tabin, taba tabin, the awliyalah, the mashayikh, the pious predecessors, they first would make effort. They would get up in the night, prostrate, rub their foreheads on the ground, do dhikr adhkar. They would make their tongues moist with dhikr of Allah. I saw my hazrat, my sheikh's tongue, 80 years of doing dhikr, his tongue was moist with the dhikr of Allah. I swear by Allah, it was white. The saliva moist with dhikr. Whenever he raised his hands, he was trembling. Allah, Allah, I am a criminal in your court. Allah, I am a sinner. Allah, give me paradise and save me from hellfire. Even today, I can show you the final letter of my sheikh. I swear by Allah, I don't have words to explain such a great sheikh. Ghawth, the ghawth of his time, the kutub. And me, a useless, bone idol individual who isn't worthy of anything. And he wrote to me a letter, Faruqi Sahib, that there's only one method for my forgiveness. Keep on doing dua for me. Keep on doing dua for me. My sheikh wrote this and asked me this. We don't want to do any actions. We don't want to make effort. We don't want to try. We don't want to make a struggle against our desires. Brothers, understand today, if we understand these words of the Quran today, let's make a change in our life. Let's improve as human beings. We can't carry out a drama act on the Day of Judgment. Oh, Ramadan's coming. Let's be happy and merry, rejoice, and have functions and speeches and bayans. This is all tradition and culture. This is not Islam. Islam didn't give us this as a teaching. As practice of the Quran explains, dhikr Allah. Do we understand today how great, great an action is dhikr Allah? Should we run from dhikr? Should we follow our desires or don't do dhikr? Today I've done enough in my life, I don't need to do anymore. These are shaitani thoughts. Allah says, wadhkurullah. Aha, but on top of this, Allah says, fathbutu, be firm, wadhkurullah, and remember Allah, kathiran, often in abundance. Time is short. Let me explain today these principles. Allah Ta'ala says, wadhkurullah kathira. One is dhikr Allah, one is kathira dhikr. There are differences, and the Quran explains us this. There's a difference between the two. Remember this. If I say I'm doing dhikr, I've got a tasbih in my hand, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, fine. And one is amali, physical dhikr. One is lisani dhikr, tongue dhikr. And one is kathir dhikr, abundance. Allah is saying in this verse, what is Allah mentioning? Which dhikr is Allah mentioning? Dhikr kathir. Allah is not saying do my dhikr. Wadhkurullah, just that's it. Or do your dhikr from your tongue. You're doing tasbih, reading Quran, amali dhikr. Physical dhikr, which is the work of the deen physically for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr, tasbih, reading hadith, Quran, etc. These are physical actions for who? For Allah. This is amali dhikr. Physical dhikr. And to do dhikr, when you recite dhikr from the tongue, this is the lisani dhikr. So there are three stages. Yeah, amli dhikr, physical dhikr, which is restrained according to time. You're praying salah, how long will you pray salah? Salah will end, won't it? If you give a speech, how long will you continue to give a speech? It will finish, won't it? If you're teaching hadith, you will finish that class at some stage. So every amali dhikr has a time period. It will finish. Lisani dhikr, dhikr of the tongue, will stop and say, how long will you keep on saying Allah, 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 la ilaha illallah? You'll start eating, talking, speaking, going to sleep. You'll stop doing lisani dhikr. But dhikr kathira is that it never stops. It continues, it continues, it continues. It never ceases. It continues in abundance. So why is Allah Ta'ala said in this verse, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا? Because nafs never stops. In its opposition, it continues to advise you when you're sleeping, when you're on your mattress. Even it will come to your dreams, I've come, I'm a wali of Allah. After today, you don't even need to pray salah.
Yes, and thousands left their salah. Thousands left the deen. Oh, today Ghawth-e Adam has come in my dua and he gave me khalafa. I've become a wali of Allah. I'm his deputy. I don't need to pray anymore because this is nafs in the dream. That's why Allah says dhikr kathira, because the quality of dhikr kathira is that it never stops. It never ceases, because Allah is saying do dhikr in abundance. Even after death, that dhikr will not stop. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Amazing. Amazing point. So now, ask me, what is, if people say, what is dhikr kathira? So Allah Ta'ala created dhikr kathira to oppose every second of the life in the hereafter nafs. So Hazrat, we understand amali dhikr, physical dhikr, dhikr lisani, but what is dhikr kathira? And the answer comes, it is dhikr of the heart. The dhikr that's done in the heart. Through what? Dhikr in the heart. This is dhikr wadhkurullaha kathira. So Allah Ta'ala is prescribing to us the dhikr we must perform to fight our desires. Dhikr-e qalbi, Allah says, take hold of this weapon. Dhikr-e qalbi, dhikr in the heart, which is the exact meaning of wadhkurullaha kathira, if we want to fight our desires. And Allah says, listen, dhikr in the heart, dhikr-e qalbi, you can't learn from a kitab, not from a book, not from a library, not from an Islamic institution. If you want to learn dhikr-e qalbi, you have to learn it from an ustad, from a teacher. Must. It is essential. This is ilm-e akhirah. This is ilm of the hereafter. So the person who wants to learn dhikr of the heart, if he doesn't have an ustad, man or woman, brother or sister, old or young, the person who wants to learn dhikr of the heart must go to the ustad, and this dhikr can only be learned from ustad. You cannot earn this dhikr, you cannot learn this dhikr from a book, from a library, yourself listening to a speech, you cannot. It has to be taught by the ustad. We know subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar hadith, but qalbi dhikr, nobody knows. Qalbi dhikr, you have to. Allah Ta'ala says 100%. Just like Allah Ta'ala said, muhaddithin, who are the masters of hadith, mufassirin, masters of commentary. A muhaddith, how has a person become a muhaddith, a scholar of hadith? He has to learn from a muhaddith. A hafiz has to become a hafiz from a hafiz himself. A qari becomes a qari when he learns from a qari. No specialist has become a specialist unless he's learned from the specialist himself. But there's wahid, Allah, the creator of the world, who Allah, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, learned from Allah. Yes. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he learned direct from Allah through wahi. The deen was delivered to us. Allah Ta'ala delivered the deen to us. And when wahi came, subhanallah, that kalam, the words of Allah, the name of Allah, apart from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nobody knew the names of Allah. Did anyone hear when wahi came? Was anybody involved in wahi? Was anybody receiving wahi in parallel when the Quran came? Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Who heard this? Apart from Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, nobody else heard the revelations. And then on top of that, further from that, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he taught and the Sahaba became Sahaba, noble companions, all of the companions learned Quran from the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then after that, the Tabi'een, the Taba Tabi'een. So if this chain of teaching started from Allah through the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, through the Sahaba, and continued through the generations till today, in the same way, qalbi dhikr, the dhikr of the heart, it came from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to all of the Sahaba, and after the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, then the next generation, Taba Tabi'een. The same way, this teaching, this chain of teaching of dhikr of the heart is an ilm, a knowledge. And if you want to learn it, you have to learn it from the ustad, from the teacher. When you go to the ustad, then you learn, and then only can you implement this dhikr and carry it out. So the special quality of dhikr, that when we go to a teacher to learn dhikr, then there's a noor attached to the dhikr, there's a light attached to the dhikr of this ilm. There's a big difference between this ilm and another ilm. You go to an ustad, you read hadith, you sit down, and in your heart, for example, you don't like your teacher, you're sitting in the classroom and you become an alim and you get the stamp on the certificate. Oh, he's graduated from Bukhari class. Even if you were against your teacher, you didn't like him, you gossiped against him and backbited. I've seen this. We've seen this. People stand against their, oh, he's not Sheikh Ladis, I'm Sheikh Ladis. I'm more knowledgeable. He hasn't got knowledge. I can show you people who've learned from their teacher, hadith, Quran, ilm, fiqh, and they say, oh, this isn't my teacher. Oh, I'm better than him now. This is the person who's following his physical desires. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the ilm of the heart, the dhikr of the heart, the dhikr-e qalbi. And this is a principle to learn the dhikr of the heart, that the ustad that you learn this ilm from, you will only benefit from the dhikr of the heart when you have four principles that you follow. Principle number one, to have i'tiqad. Number one, you need to have the most i'tiqad, belief in your sheikh. Principle two, the extreme love for your sheikh. The most love you should have is for your sheikh. Principle number three, you should have itaat, obedience and following your sheikh. And fourthly, adab, manners.
comportment. When you have these four things with your ustad, the more you have, the more your heart will do dhikr e qalbi and you will crush your desires. Aha, tasawwuf, my friends, tasawwuf. And if we have anything lacking in these four principles, then dhikr qalbi will never benefit us. Listen clearly to what I'm saying. Dhikr qalbi will never benefit us. You can do 10,000 tasbih, 50,000 tasbih, 100,000 tasbih. If you don't have itiqad in your sheikh, if you don't love your sheikh, if you don't have adab for your sheikh, and if you don't have itaat and obedience and following your sheikh, I swear by Allah, this is coming from the pious predecessors who have taught me that totally there will be 0% benefit. You can sit all your life in front of the teacher, you will benefit zero. But a person who wants to progress fast towards crushing the desires and getting close to Allah, then if you follow these four principles, then the nur will come in your dhikr and you will feel that, I'm benefiting. So what do we see here? That in the dhikr of Allah, after doing dhikr of Allah, those people who are still not benefiting, we think, why is this man not benefiting? He's doing dhikr of Allah, and his face is made, his appearance is made, his everything is in accordance to deen. So why is this person not benefiting? And sometimes you'll think yourself, why am I not succeeding? My dhikr is not succeeding because we're not following these four principles. The person who did not implement these four principles, if there was something lacking in any one of these principles, due to that, the person could not succeed in this world or thereafter. So my brothers, this is the genuine path to get to Allah. Alhamdulillah, very short summarized explanation. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May we to get close to Allah, to attain paradise and to get Allah Ta'ala's qurb and love. We don't need anything else. First and foremost, we need to oppose our nafs, which is our worst enemy. The nafs is the biggest obstacle. To oppose the nafs, we need to do dhikr. And not just dhikr on its own, we need dhikr kathira. And to learn dhikr kathira, we need an ustad, a teacher. And to have a teacher, we need these four principles. Inshallah, that person who's taken these advices is very easy. If we have a shaykh with these four principles, Allah says, then la'allakum tuflihun. The person who follows these four principles, then prepare for Jannah, oh my servant. Jannah is waiting for you. La'allakum tuflihun. So that you may might attain to a happy state and success. Paradise is ready for you. As soon as you come to me, I will take you to Jannah. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.